Have you known people with tremendous promise as managers or leaders whose careers got derailed and they never rose to the heights that they seemed destined for? No doubt you have. And as a leadership development coach, I've seen plenty of them. Of course, we could cite hosts of reasons why this happens, but today I want to talk about one in particular, and it has to do with mindsets. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike Armour, president of Strategic Leadership Development International, which I founded in Dallas 25 years ago. We offer comprehensive leadership development services, including coaching, consulting, training, team building, and strategic facilitation. Learn more about what we offer at leaderperfect.com. Thanks for joining us today. Before we turn to our topic, let me follow through on a promise in earlier episodes to provide updates as appropriate on new developments with the Corporate Transparency Act, the CTA. The CTA required over 30 million small businesses to file a beneficial ownership information report with the Treasury Department by January 1st of this year. Since December 2nd last year, enforcement of the Act has been suspended by injunctions from two different district courts. The Supreme Court, however, has lifted one of these injunctions, and the other is currently under appeal at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. There's good reason to believe that the Fifth Circuit will follow the Supreme Court's precedent and lift the injunction. If so, the CTA and the BOI report go back into effect immediately. We expect a decision from the Fifth Circuit any day now. Meanwhile, on Monday of this week, the House of Representatives passed a bill changing the filing deadline to January 1st, 2026. The measure passed unanimously in the House. It is not yet on the docket in the Senate. But with both sides of the aisle fully supporting the measure in the House, it should have no trouble passing in the Senate. For more details on these developments, as well as an account of what brought us to this point, check out my updates at compliancebOI.com/status. I just updated it this morning. Even if the CTA is reinstated, the question of its constitutionality is still to be decided by the courts. So routinely check that website for the latest. Again, that's compliancebOI.com/status. I don't know who invented the term management ladder, but it's a great choice of words. Ladders take us from ground level to the top, but we get there one rung at a time. In my teens, I scampered up ladders all the time. My dad was a roofing contractor, and from an early age, I worked summers as a helper on his jobs. At the bottom of the ladder, my perspective was totally different from what the world looked like at the top, and things felt different too. At the bottom of the ladder, with the ground just below my feet, things felt steady, solid. But climbing a two-story ladder, especially with a load of shingles on your shoulder, took you to a level where the footing was not so stable. The ladder was flexing and springing beneath the weight. Things were not so certain toward the top as they were on the ground. Management ladders are much the same. Just as I had to adjust my step as I ascended those ladders on the job, management ladders require us to make adjustments on the way up. One of the biggest adjustments is in our mindset. Today, we're going to discuss mental and perceptual changes that every person must navigate on his or her way to the top of the management ladder. From what I've observed, failing to make these mindset changes appropriately may be the single greatest contributor to derailed careers. Today's program looks at 5 of those critical transitions. So don't go away. I'll be back momentarily.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
Several times a year, I make a presentation or conduct a training program for relatively new managers. Typically, they have been in a management role for less than 2 years. Early in the going, I usually ask them what has been their greatest surprise as a manager. Without fail, the number one answer is the number of people problems I have to deal with. What I've learned is that most people come into management expecting to work primarily with thing problems: budgets, inventories, production schedules, project plans. They quickly learn, however, that the problems that intrude on their schedule the most are people problems. They are coming to grips with the first of 5 mindset changes which managers must make en route to the top, especially those who step into management from non-management backgrounds, having perhaps always prided themselves at their ability to solve problems. As managers, the nature of the problem solving expected makes a notable shift. In the prior stages of their career, they were responsible for solving problems which were usually material and impersonal in nature. Perhaps they were an analyst, or they are in a technical, construction, engineering, or manufacturing field as an individual contributor or a team lead. Careers like these tend to attract workers who enjoy solving problems with things far more than solving problems with people. Now, with the move into management, they are in a role that requires them to deal with a steady stream of issues and problems involving people. For many, this is a challenging transition. It's also a stretch for pronounced introverts to work steadily day in and day out in scenarios which demand a steady interface with people. All too often, introverts respond to their discomfort by becoming the type of manager who stays holed up in an office most of the time. In the not-too-distant future, another wrinkle will be added to the challenge of transitioning into management. The youngest part of our workforce has a disproportionately larger percentage of people who are poorly equipped in terms of interpersonal skills. This is partly the result of COVID putting them in isolation during their late adolescence, when young people learn to blaze their own social trails independent of family. The COVID generation was largely denied that learning experience. Aggravating the situation is a generation that grew up never venturing more than an arm's length from a cell phone. The diversion of online media and chat rooms consumed the time that earlier generations would have spent in activities where they mastered interpersonal skills. As workers like these reach an age where they should be taking their first steps on the management ladder, vast numbers of them will find the transition to addressing people problems particularly daunting. Once you've established yourself on the management ladder and begin to advance, the second mindset challenge presents itself. The higher you move on the organizational chart, the longer the time horizon on which you must focus. Early in a management career, your decisions revolve primarily around things that will happen in the next 30 days or perhaps the next quarter. Then you move into positions where you are charged with decisions centered on the next 6 months or a year. By the time you reach the highest levels of management, you are responsible for decisions that will have continuing impact for years to come. For those whose natural inclination is to think in closer time frames, it can be a genuine stretch to make decisions affecting the organization years down the road. Over the years, I've observed that different people have different landing zones when asked to think long term. When I'm interviewing a prospective client, I may ask, looking long term, what does your organization need to accomplish? One person will say, 10 months from now, we need to have achieved X. Another will say, in the next 10 years, we need to be at position Y. For me, my landing zone is typically in the 3 to 5 year range. In fact, one of my greatest personal challenges in leadership has been staying adequately focused on the things that need to be done today because I'm so drawn to laying track for things that will come to pass in 3 or 4 years. And speaking of laying track, let me share a humorous story regarding long-range thinking. Shortly after I began my leadership development firm, I launched a multi-year engagement with Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway. I was coaching executives who were in or being groomed for the C-suite. One day, I was talking to a new acquaintance in top management and was gathering basic information about his work profile. I asked him, "What percentage of your time do you spend on long-range thinking?" To my absolute surprise, he answered, 80 to 90%. My mouth must have dropped open. After taking a minute to process his response, I said, "I certainly hope we can spend some time together so I can learn how you've been able to accomplish that feat. Most people at your level find it difficult to spend even 20% of their time on long-range issues." He smiled and said, "Well, you have to understand my definition of long range. You see, by this time tomorrow, I'm responsible for assembling 1,100 trains and moving them safely through hundreds of communities. For me, 96 hours out is long-range thinking." Whatever long-range is for us, at some point, the management ladder will demand that we stretch that time horizon. Our ability to adjust adequately to that demand will be a determinant in how much farther up the ladder we are able to move. The third required mindset change results from the one that we've just discussed. To be specific, as your decision-making time horizon grows longer, the data available to you for the decision gains more and more ambiguity. The challenge is to remain confident in your decisions as this ambiguity increases. Early in management careers, you can usually draw on substantial amounts of detailed, hard data to defend the rationale for your decisions. Once the time horizon for your decisions stretches years into the future, there is far less hard data to depend on. Here, your instincts, experience, and gut become your guide for knowing the right thing to do. This is one reason that upper-tier management positions are largely reserved for people with years of experience. It's not a matter of rewarding seniority. It's a matter of needing people in those positions whose years of experience have afforded time for their gut instincts to be well informed. A large portion of the population is never comfortable with ambiguity. At the top of the management ladder, however, ambiguity is a given. Managers who cannot maintain the momentum of decision-making in the face of ambiguity will soon be thwarted in moving farther up the ladder. The fourth mindset change is also closely related to the longer time horizon for decisions. As the time horizon becomes more extended, the mindset of the manager must shift from the tactical to the strategic. Interestingly, our word strategy comes from the ancient Greek word for general. Strategy has always been the province of those on the highest rungs of the management ladder. I define strategic decisions as those that make for sustained survivability, strength, and success for the organization. At lower levels of management where tactics are the order of the day, there's not much call for evaluating the long-term sustainability of decisions. At top management, sustainability can never be ignored. Detail-oriented people commonly find it difficult to become strategic thinkers. Strategy is not so much about the details as the big moving pieces. Strategy thinks from the big picture to the specifics. Detail-oriented people tend to put the specifics together like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle in order to get to the big picture. After a lifetime of thinking specific to big picture, it takes determination and retooling to become natural at thinking big picture to specific. The fifth mindset challenge is that you must become more politically astute. And I'm using the word politics here in the best sense of the word. English derived that term from the ancient Greeks. They used the word polis as the term for a fortified city, and the related word politeia, from which we get our word politics, meant the art of governing a city wisely. The higher you go on the management ladder, the more widely the ripple effects of your decisions will be felt. No longer do your decisions merely impact the people reporting to you. Your decisions can now have far-reaching effect on distant elements of the organization. More people must be won to your decision through your persuasion, influence, and credibility. You must tend to more fires that break out when people are unhappy with decisions that you have made. Therefore, you must become adept at mustering far-flung leadership in the organization around your initiatives. Otherwise, those who were not consulted or whose needs were not given due consideration in your decision are likely to be unhappy, and further, they are likely to do their utmost to sabotage you or your initiative. So, let me close by summing up these five essential mindset changes which must occur to ascend the management ladder successfully. First, problem solving becomes more weighted toward people problems than thing problems. Second, the time horizon for decision making becomes longer. Third, because the decision making time horizon grows longer, there is greater ambiguity in the data on which you rely. Fourth, your mindset must center more on the strategic than the tactical. And fifth, you must become more adept at handling the politics of corporate life. A PDF copy of today's podcast is available at upsizeyourleadership.com/episodes. Find this program in the index and click on the link to download scripts. And take a moment to click on the subscribe link on your player to be alerted as new episodes are aired. And the share link makes it easy to post this episode on social media or to download a link that you can include in an email. Thanks again for joining us. Until we get together next time, find some way every day to upsize your leadership.